This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in all the events of our lives, large and small, may we seek to find you. In all the people of our lives, great and small, may we seek to find you. Amen. Good morning. Well, it is that time of year when we are all just waiting and waiting to hear this sound. It's the World Cup, and we've all become soccer maniacs, whether we like it or not. And as one who never got into soccer too much, it seemed quite boring to me to watch a game for 90 minutes when on ESPN, for those 30 seconds of highlights, you might see the one goal that was scored. But to understand more of the game, as all of these commentators have explaining, those 89 minutes might have been the strategy of that team setting up a particular play where they are finally going to score that one goal when the announcers go nuts. Now, our Christian lives are a lot like this. Evidence the reading that we heard of the faith of Abraham and contrast and compare that with the gospel that we heard, where Jesus is talking about something as simple as giving a cup of cold water to one of the least of these. Balance those out. Kill your son, your firstborn, give a cup of water to one of these little kids. And I assure you, parents, at sermon time, they're doing the latter, not the former. There's a connection. In this section of Matthew's gospel called the Mission Discourse, Jesus has been talking about the difficult part, that Abraham faith part, where there are going to be times in our lives when we are going to be able to operate only on faith and strength to pull us through, because that's all we're going to have left. And that's all that Abraham had. And it's important for us to remember, this is not about a God who wants to kill our kids. The ultimate message of that story is about a God who provides to those who step out in faith. And this is what God does. But how would Abraham get to a point of being able to do that? Is through the ability he had to give little cups of cold water in many different symbolic ways with the way he was living his life. Here's the message for us. Jesus has gone through this long litany of these difficult things you might have to do at one point in your life. And now he ends this section with talking about a cup of cold water to the least of these. It is in these day out and day out little ways that we are able to build up our strength in our faith so that when that really difficult thing comes along, we will have the bank of faith and strength to pull us through. I'm sure many of you are aware of the tragedy of the loss of Michael Reeves, who is the husband of Bishop Mary Gray Reeves, the bishop of the Diocese of El Camino Real in California, who for many years served in our diocese, came from this diocese, was here at St. Joseph's many times. 54 years old, Michael was an avid cyclist, an avid skydiver, an avid glider with airplanes, an avid scuba diver, a real adventurous type and an avid cyclist. Then he was out for his ride and a car T-boned him and he was killed before they got him to the hospital. But Michael was a great dad. And they're two adopted kids, and he took care of them well. And his daughter, his 20-year-old daughter, whom he had done all of these little things along the way, has given her the strength that she now needs to face the loss of her father. She posted this online this week in the wake of her father's death. "Dad, thank you for teaching me to have a sense of adventure. Whether that be at 7,000 feet in the air or 30 meters below the water's thrashing waves. Thank you for teaching me how to ride a bike and fall somewhat gracefully off, but mostly how to get back on. Thank you for making me figure things out for myself because now I can change a tire, fix a shower, and set up an audio system without asking for help. But knowing that you'll always be there with a full range of tools to solve whatever the problem may be. Thank you for your nose because I've been able to sniff out the best things from it. And thank you for your feet because I can now stand my ground, but also so that I can leap into the unknown adventure of life." Wow. In the wake of losing your dad, that she can write that. There is so much that we can do one for another. You know, Mother Teresa talks about all the time in her life about it's not about everybody having the ability to do great things, but the ability to do a lot of small things with great love. I think that is our call. That is what will enable us when it comes to that difficult moment of Abraham-type faith, that we will have the strength to do what God calls us to do. I started with a World Cup allusion, and I'd like to go back to that for a minute. But you talk about doing little things unexpectedly and special. You might have seen this on the news, but they say that the best soccer fans in the entire world are Japanese people. And many of them have traveled to Brazil for their team's participation in the World Cup. And we all experience in our own country when teams lose, there are riots, they overturn cars, they mess up cities and all sorts of things. But what the Japanese people did was a lot different. Let's watch this little clip.
Here are some scenes of the fan celebration after the LA Lakers won the NBA championship in 2010. Yes, that's fire. After the UConn men's basketball team won March Madness this year, at least 30 people had to be arrested for how they celebrated there. Here's how Detroit celebrates whenever one of their teams wins. But in its first game of the World Cup this year, the Japanese World Cup team lost 2-1 to the team from the Ivory Coast. In their moment of great disappointment, the Japanese soccer fans decided to respond to the loss, not by overturning cars or lighting couches on fire, but by cleaning up the stadium in which the game had just been played. Look, these are the fans. The Japanese team saluted its fans as they picked up trash among the thousands of seats when the game was over. The sport's ideal is to be humble in victory and gracious in defeat. The fans of the Japanese World Cup team are the greatest manifestation of that in a long, long while. And that is the best new thing in the world tonight. Thank you for being with us. Now it's time for the last word.
Can you imagine?
Here are some scenes of...
Whoop. We get the point. Could you imagine traveling halfway around the world to see your team play? The expense, for one. You lose the game. And then you go and you want to clean up the stadium. That's pretty amazing. Little things that can be done that will, in the end, make a big difference. I want to end today with a little parable of a story that perhaps you have heard in one form or another before. It's the story of monks who lived in a monastery with an abbot. And they had lost their zest for what their ministry was supposed to be. And they all walked around with heavy hearts. And the monastery started to come into somewhat of decay. But there was a rabbi who used to come near the woods of the monastery where he had a little hut. And whenever the rabbi would come to the property, the monks would be whispering amongst themselves, "The rabbi walks in the woods." And the word would spread that the rabbi was around, but they never talked to the rabbi. Well, as time went on, and things got worse and worse at the monastery, finally the abbot decided that he would go and he would meet the rabbi. And so he walked to the edge of the property to where the little hut in the woods was, and there was the rabbi, and he opened his arms like this to greet the abbot. They embraced. And he invited him into his little hut, and there, in a very special place, were the scriptures. And the two of them stood before the scriptures, and they both started to cry. It was as if the rabbi had waited all this time for the abbot to finally come. And so they conversed a bit, and the abbot made it clear he was looking for some wise advice as to what they should do with their declining monastery. And so the rabbi said, "You came here for some advice. I have some words to impart to you, but you can only repeat them once, and they are never to be repeated again." And this, of course, got the attention of the abbot, and he leaned in close, and the rabbi said, "The Messiah is amongst you." And that's all he said. And after a period of silence, the abbot rose, walked out of the hut, and never looked back, and went back to his monastery. The next morning, he called all of his monks together into the chapter house. Seated in the chapter house, they were very curious as to what had transpired with the rabbi. And he said, "He gave us one piece of advice. I can only tell you once, and we can never say it again." He said, "One of us is the Messiah." They walked out. They went about their duties as before, but mysteriously something started to change. First of all, they started to think, "The Messiah is one of us. Well, it can't be Monk Joe. He's so stubborn and mean. It can't be Steve. He's so set in his ways and old. There's no way he's the Messiah. I know myself too well. It can't be me." But what miraculously started to happen is there was some vitality that came back to the monastery. They started to take care of each other a little bit more. When they looked at another person, they smiled. Their prayer life took on a whole new dimension. And in a very short time, people started to flock back to this monastery because there was something special about these monks, and other young people decided they wanted to be a part of the monastery as well. Well, years passed and the rabbi disappeared. The hut had fallen into disrepair. But the monastery continued to thrive because they continued to look for the Messiah in every single person they encountered. We, at some point in life, will be called to have Abraham type of faith. But in the meantime, there are countless opportunities whether it's picking up the trash or giving a cup of cold water to another person in need, that will enable us to see the Messiah in each other. May that start today in this place. Amen.